Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, March 17th, 2014, St. Patrick's Day, falling on a Monday. We're really going to see who the fucking real drinkers are this, you know, when it falls on a Monday. Either way, whatever. I'm still touring Canada with the wonderful Paul Verzi, who is, once again, a special guest here on the podcast. Welcome, Paul Verzi.
What's up, man?
How you hanging in there?
I'm doing well. You know?
What do we got left? How many more days?
I told you. I put the blinders on. Didn't think about getting home. You can't. And yep. What do we got? We got tonight. We got, yeah, dude, it's, we're 3 days away from being home.
We got one tonight in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Then we're in
Victoria.
Then we go back to Calgary.
Back to those animals.
Animals.
Fucking animals in Calgary.
Jesus. Not the first show. The second show. Wow.
My God.
Wow. I'm trying to say, we wanted to reach out to people in Calgary before we just brand everybody in Calgary animals. Like, they were fucking pounding.
You know what? That first show was great.
They were great. That second show, though.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, they were like...
They were coming in with cases of tall boys. They were allowed to bring those little cardboard pallets.
Hammered. Fucking hammered.
Just throwing...
And then they had like... I think part of it had to do with the fact that it was at a college, so I think there was college kids there. I just put myself in that mindset going, dude, I drank like that when I was in college. This isn't how...
I don't know, though, dude. That wasn't all college people because I asked the crowd. And, like, that was just... I think that was a lot of just Calgary, man. I think that was late night, you know...
Yeah,
I think what was permitted on the premises turned them into fucking animals.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? By the time I went on stage, when I got halfway through my set... It was most of them had kind of like passed out. Like it was getting quiet, and I was standing up there, going like, "Am I bombing up here?" And I just was looking at like five different people who were laughing their ass off, and I'm like, "I'm just gonna say in my head they're sober."
Yeah.
Like there's no way if I'm really bombing, I got somebody laughing that hard. So I was just like, maybe this show's gone on too long. I'll tell you, that was a rough one, you know?
Oh, it was animals in Calgary. What was that, at the zoo? Okay.
Still fun. So then we were driving out, and me and Verzi were trying to find a place to smoke a stogie inside, right?
Oh,
or they had this on that campus, which was really exciting to me, they had the speed skating loop from the 1988 Olympics, and they still had ice on it. We were trying to get on that fucker. Yeah. Oh, dude, that would have been a great YouTube video if they loaned us some speed skates. Going out there in our stand-up comedy clothes with those giant blades on it. I just want to be going fast enough. I want to be going fast enough where I'm turned so to the side I can put those three fingers down, you know, when you go around the corner.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I would never. I would have been on YouTube for the wrong reasons.
Both of us would have. I would have wiped out, and I would have. You know when they wipe out when the centrifugal force just takes you into the stands?
Yeah.
That would have been me. That would have been me. So anyways, we're trying to do that. We ended up finding this great place to smoke a cigar. So we're driving out. And we're trying to figure out, going, dude, was you know, we're talking about the show, going like, dude, was it me or that first show was good, but that second show, wow, did you feel the same way? And we're, you know, basically exchanging notes. And as we drive out of the venue, we see this group of fucking hammered people, and this guy, he's got, you know, those things like when they have a parade go down the street, those giant like metal.
The barricades. Yeah.
Like those metal ones that have like it looks like a fucking, I don't know. Whatever, giant metal barricade. This fucking guy picks it up with one hand, and he's got it over his shoulder, turns around, sees us coming, and then waves us through like he's some sort of official person. For half a second, the way he did it, I thought he was. And then as I drove by, I'm looking at him, and I see he's hammered, and then I see on his face it registers that we're the two comics he just saw. So I just pull away from him, and as I'm driving, and you're going like, wow, man, that guy just was carrying that thing with one hand. What the fuck? I turn around and look in the rearview mirror, and this guy's running after the car. We're doing probably like, what, 15 miles an hour?
Yeah.
And this dude is running. I was saying he looked like, you know, when they show highlights of Babe Ruth hitting a home run, when they show him running in
fast legs, yeah.
I think he was mocking running. I don't think he was really going to do anything because I didn't get scared, but when I looked in the rearview mirror and I just saw this guy, just imagine you're driving along. After a fucking working or whatever,
right.
And you're kind of halfway out of it. And then you look in the rearview mirror and you see somebody running but in this exaggerated way where he was like pumping his fucking arms like that. It was like he was mocking it.
I didn't see it. All I saw was you go, what the – you go, what the fuck? And you just stepped on the gas. But I was in the passenger
seat. On that underpowered fucking rental car. So it goes, ah!
Yeah, and all of a sudden you go, what the fuck? And I go, what? And you just stepped on the gas. You go, that guy just started running after the car. And I was like, holy shit. Because I saw one of his friends
– right.
One of the – just collapse. Like they were hammered that he didn't hit anything. He just fell. A guy just fell, and I just saw his legs go up. Like they were fucked up, dude. Those kids.
But I would be lying if like 3 times yesterday and this morning I woke up and I was picturing that guy running behind the car, and I laughed every time. It was fucking nuts.
Yeah, those guys were hammered, man.
Yeah. So we got a tip of the cap to the drinking ability.
Yeah.
Not encouraging that from when we come back Wednesday. We definitely like to have people try to behave more like the first show where. You know, I don't feel like I'm interrupting your drinking with my jokes.
Yeah, that was – they were great, though. The crowds were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. But, yeah, man, that was another level.
Yeah, there's always a couple. There's always a couple of hammered people. But that was where it was getting to the tipping point, like kind of like, you know, right before Hitler took power, where it's just like, what side am I going to choose here for my own survival? Is that's what the drunk versus sober level was by the time I got about 40 minutes into my set. It was kind of like,
well, that's the thing. You're doing an hour plus. I'm going out there up front. You know, I could kind of see that they're animals, but you know, I could just, you going out there, but by the time you're halfway through your set, these guys are like six tall boys in. It's a shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
It was a shit show. Yeah. Edmonton was unbelievable. Edmonton, that venue. You remember that one with the orchestra fucking place there?
Oh yeah.
That was great. So then we have a great time there, and then we ended up where the fuck did we go? I remember we kept leaving the hotel. We drove around. You had to get socks. Verzi's fucking hilarious. Verzi has not done laundry.
I bought new shit, you know?
Dude, we're like 20 – what, 17
16, days? We were 16 days in.
Yeah, you got 16 days worth of fucking socks and drawers.
Yeah, I got them in a plastic bag, and then I went to the store and I bought new ones, you know? It would have cost me the same fucking thing.
We got to take a picture of your bag at some point and post it
How
up.
How big is it getting?
Yeah. He has them on the outside pouch. Well, you're checking the bag, so I guess it doesn't matter. But I just did mine for the second time. I fucking hate having dirty –
clothes and you go back.
Past a certain amount of days, like I'm doing 3-4 days in a row, plastic bags, stuff them in the front or whatever. But anything
you do laundry at home, is it? Do you do it or does your wife do it?
My wife does it.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, I got her in line, you know? Okay. So anyways, last week, I got to finish the Edmonton thing. So Verzi is completely addicted to skating now and he wants to get better at it. And so... we're fucking in Edmonton. The next morning, we got to drive down to Calgary. And Verzi's going like, there's got to be a place here to skate. So we find out they have a skating rink at the mall. And not only is it a mall, it's one of the most giant malls in North America.
In North America, yeah. West Edmonton Mall.
Rivaling, what's that one in Minnesota?
Mall of America.
Yeah. So, which I've been to that one too. So we go to that one. We're walking through there with our fucking skates. Two middle-aged guys walking through this thing with fucking skates. And we walk in. There's like this giant pirate ship. I mean, you could sail the fucking ocean with this fucking thing.
Yeah, it was a fucking official.
And I look on the other side. It was really deep water. And they took all this time to make it look like there was a shipwreck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, like you could fucking.
Yeah, it was monstrous, man.
Yeah, like Shaq could drown in this water. If he didn't, that's how fucking deep it was.
It was huge.
And then we look on the other side. And I'm like, Paul, I'm like, is that a fucking sea lion? They had sea lions at this thing. They're like throwing it fish
and
shit.
They're throwing fish and it was catching
it. A trainer was. It wasn't like people just walking by throwing shit from the food court. It was a trainer throwing it. And so we're just walking through the mall, endless fucking mall. They had a water park there.
Yeah.
It was insane. I didn't look at any stores. I was too distracted by the shit in the middle. And then we finally get all the way to the ice rink.
Ice Palace. They called it Ice Palace, and we got all excited.
And we're the only people with skates, just walking through, holding our fucking dumb skates, and we get all the way to the other side. Verzi's all excited, like, dude, I'm telling you, I'm going to get better at this. You wait.
I was ready.
By the end of the summer, he's already talking shit. Dude, I'm calling it right now. I'm going to be fucking skating backwards. You're going to be like, what the fuck happened, Verzi?
Yeah.
Right? And then we show up, and there's a big judo tournament where the ice rink is, and they fucking put all this flooring all over it.
I was in denial. I'm like, maybe this isn't the rink.
Maybe this is the rink.
Dude, it says Ice Palace, Paul. This is it. They covered it up. This is it. I got upset, though, at the mall, man. Remember? Remember that girl, man? That really bothered me. We're walking through the food court, and, you know, we had a gyro. Great gyro at
this
place.
As you do.
Yeah, yeah. A great gyro at this place called Jimmy the Greek. The one complaint, and you agreed, a little too much white sauce, and it was pasty.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a little pasty.
You
should have
gone one scoop. He went to
one scoop less and a little hot sauce, and it would have been fucking.
He got excited.
It would have been epic. Yeah, he got excited. So then I said to Bill, you know, I like a little dessert after I eat. You know, I like a little candy bar. I like a little, you know. So
you like
I know,
a little sugar in your tank.
Like. So I go, Bill, man, there was a frozen yogurt place. I go, yeah, Pinkberry or something. So let's go frozen yogurt. So you go, all right. So we're walking by.
Let's paint the picture. So two middle-aged men with skates are now
Like how you keep saying I'm middle-aged.
You are middle-aged.
I'm 30. I just turned 35.
35 times two is 70. Most guys fucking drop.
Well, I call middle-aged. Yeah, all right.
What would you call it?
No, I guess you're right. I guess, you know, I always just, when I thought of it as a kid, I always felt, you know, it was... No, I don't know. I just remember, dude, I don't know.
What would you say, 40?
40s, but I, you know.
40s?
40, people, dude, people live long, man.
Dude, I'm fucking be 46. 46 times 2 is 92. You're going to really, I can't really sit there and say I'm middle-aged? I'll tell you the way I'm eating and smoking, you know?
No, so we walk through and we're like, where was that frozen yogurt place? Let's go to that frozen yogurt place. So we see two young women walk by, and we figure, hey.
I looked at them, and I'm like, these ladies, they're going to know where a Pinkberry is.
They're
going
to know where a Pinkberry is. So we walk up, and you go first. You say to the friend, you go, hey, you guys know where.
Oh, and they're good looking, too, by the way.
Yeah, good-looking girls, and you go up first. You go, hey, you guys know where the frozen yogurt place is? And like,
she did like a double take. Like,
she did a double take, so fucking rude, right? And she just was like, what? And then I looked at the other one, and I go, yeah, like a Pinkberry. And she kind of just like gives this shake off, like, how would I know? Like, why are you? And she fucking did. This is what she did. She did the classic pretty girl. You're clearly just asking me this because you want to talk to me thing. And I'm like, no, bitch, I want some fucking yogurt. Okay, I want a fucking treat. You know, I just had lunch, and it really bothered me, dude. And we were walking around, and I wanted to find her. I wanted to
find
her.
They walked past us again. They did the loop on the food court.
I didn't know that, but I said to Bill when we got to the car, I go, I wanted to find her because I would have just went up to her and go, you know something? I found it, and you're a mean jerk. And then you go, why would you do that?
You're a mean jerk. That's terrible.
What am I going to call her, a cunt?
Well, don't call her anything if you're going to go with mean jerk. I mean, you know.
I hate that pretty girl mentality. That pretty girl mentality.
Just say you're mean. Or you're a jerk if you want to stay clean. But if you go, you're a mean jerk.
No, you're not pretty inside. You're not pretty inside.
She doesn't give a fuck. She's the hot girl at the mall. Paul, put yourself in her fucking pumps, all right? With two fucking
fuck her
jackasses standing there with ice skates when there's a judo tournament down the way asking if they know where the fucking the ice cream store is. They looked at us the way they were supposed to.
You know what, dude? I like a sweetheart. I don't care how you look.
I would love to hear them tell the story. And they come, and then this just creepy guy comes up like, hey, you know where they are.
Hey, you guys know.
Yeah, but that's the way they're going to hear it, Paul. Paul, you ever watch those fucking prison shows?
Which ones? Like the Scared Straight?
No, not those ones where they talk about the worst prisons in the country and that type of shit.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah, and you just sit there watching it going, how the fuck would I go in there and not get raped? What would my game plan? You get scared watching it in your bedroom.
Right.
Women have to walk out of the house worried about that somebody's going to, you know. Dude, just imagine if
I had a winter hat on with a puffy ball on top of it holding ice skates, asking for yogurt.
Yeah, but
she probably thought I was fucking gay.
Well, you don't look gay, Paul.
I know, but
you're not asking a question. Your beard's too terroristy. You need to get a little more metrosexual if you're going to do that. We had sweatpants on. Dude, we were a mess.
Everybody in the fucking ground.
Yeah, that's what you look
my
like.
My beard actually fucking says, everybody on the fucking ground. Yeah. No, but dude, I don't like the pretty girl who can't be approached with a question because, oh, this guy's hitting on me. It's awful. And you know something? The guy, especially the blonde one who went, like, shook her head like, what? She's going to be a nightmare. She's a fucking nightmare for some future guy. I'm telling you. She's a nightmare. She's already selfish. It's over.
What if she just knows what she wants and we're not it? Well, this is the thing, dude. You actually allowed – like, how old do you think they were?
They were probably 21, 22.
Yeah. You let a 21, 22-year-old I mean, that's a girl at my age, not even a woman.
The way she shook
like,
it
you
off.
Let her,
like
you let her
what?
Ruin, like, dude, we're driving down to Calgary.
Yeah, she ruined like
we got
a half
the
hour.
Rocky Mountains on the right-hand side of the car, and you're just still calling. You're calling her a cunt the whole way down.
It bothered the shit out of me. It was like, why would you ask me? How would I know?
Dude, you realize how funny that is that they did that to us? Like, what? Like, yeah, they really made us feel like shit. That's fucking hilarious if you look at it.
It bothered me.
And the whole time is because you wanted to get frozen yogurt?
Dude, how funny would it be if we chased him down and I
dude,
went
dude, you
up
got frozen yogurt with sugar-free gummy bears on it.
It was delicious.
No, all natural.
No, organic gummy bears. How great would it be if we chased him down and I just walked up to her and I go, you know something? You hurt my feelings. And I just fucking broke down. You know, you hurt my feelings. I just wanted yogurt.
Oh, by the way, for people listening here, this is last week, you know, just trying to kill, just trying to make jokes to not go out of your mind being on tour this fucking long.
Yeah.
Is we were doing the Dangerfield. Everything, oh, I'll tell you, I got a friend of mine who loves yogurt, you know? So we were doing that. And once that went away, that got old. Somewhere along the line, you started doing it. You started saying really sentimental shit to me and then pretending like you were crying. And then that just became like the running joke.
And then you started laughing and then you were just like, you got to do that on stage. Do that crying thing. So now we'll just go up and like if we'll be like, hey, man, I'm tired. But, dude, you know what? Hanging with you on the road has been great. You're the only one I could have done it with. And then Bill would come and tag it. That's the best thing. Bill would come and tag it. And
I would just be like, I was hoping you were going to say that. But dude, it's been fucking wonderful for my anger. I'm going to try to do that when I get home. Just pretend like I'm crying, man. It's fucking hilarious.
So two stories. We go in to eat, and we have this Filipino waiter, right? By the way, I like to play the games where I say.
What the hell were we? Was that Edmonton? Was that Calgary? That was Edmonton.
Yeah, it was Edmonton. So I like to do this thing where sometimes I like to fuck with people. So I'll just get on a phone and I'll be like, Bill, go along with it. And we'll be in an elevator and I'll go, what? No, that's horseshit. And like Bill just be like, what happened? So like I said, like he had a parole officer called and he said, and Bill goes, oh, they worked it up. And then instantly Burr goes, yeah, but what about that videotape? I go, no, they said it's insubmissible. and like the guy, there's just a stranger there, right? Sometimes I break out laughing. So Bill calls it, he gets a little emotional, guy. So we turn this crying thing we do into like, this has been great, right? We turn that into doing it in public. So we have this Filipino waiter, right? And the whole guy was great. He was talking to us. And at the end, I just go, he goes, here's your bill. And I go, I just want to say something. And I kept a dead straight face. And I go, you've been a great waiter, man. And I put my hand on his fucking arm. And I go, you know, you bring in the waters. You just, and Bill just looks at him and goes, he gets a little emotional. You know what I mean? I go, no, but it means a lot.
Guy didn't know what to do.
Guy had no.
Because he was so fucking polite. And he was actually from the Philippines. So he's in.
Dude,
you know,
you jumped right in perfectly. Yeah. My friend, he gets a little emotional. I go, no, but Bill, he'd bring the waters. Oh, dude, he was freaked out, though.
No, that's the new game on the road.
But you had the best one. I got to say the best one was at the airport yesterday. We got to the airport yesterday, and Bill starts busting my balls about my laundry. And he goes, Verzi, fucking 16 days and you're carrying, you know, dirty socks and underwear? And I go, dude, I bought new ones. You know, the dirty ones are tied up tight in a plastic bag. And Bill just goes, just like your emotions. And, dude, I fucking could not walk. I couldn't walk. And I had to stop pulling my fucking the bag I checked because we were laughing so hard. It works, though. It makes it fucking great.
It's driving our tour manager nuts.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing
Leanne.
We got. Yeah.
Well, because women don't want to see a guy getting emotional like that. It's just.
Well, no, because once somebody cries, it's over.
Yeah, like when I go out afterwards and I'm taking pictures with people and stuff, I always come back and I was just like, I got to tell you, you know, I've seen a lot of people do that, you know, doing the picture thing, but you got to be one of the best.
Dude, our wives.
She's going, would you stop fucking doing that?
Our wives are going to go nuts. Because, you know, the first thing when I see Stace and you see your wife, we're just going to go, it's been so long. I missed you so much.
No, you got to set it up with talking. Like
you got to start off normal.
Like you're going to say something really sentimental to them. So they're almost crying. And then you cry, which ruins their crying. And I swear to God, you get slugged in the shoulder, which is all you really want. How many minutes in here? I think it's time to do a little advertising here. You know, okay. What do we got? Did I just shut it off? No, I didn't. Oh, shit. 20 minutes in. I'll tell you, Paul, you know, time really flies with you on the podcast. It's been so fun. This is probably only funny to us, but I don't give a shit. Try it with your friends.
Oh, fuck that. If people aren't laughing,
the game is called He Gets Emotional. And just walk into a bar, Just have one of your friends start hitting on a woman, and then
the other friend's got to go along.
Yeah, and then just starts welling up, and then the other guy goes, "I'm sorry." He just gets emotional, and you just got to let the other person deal with it. Dude, you're one at the fucking airport where you walked up to that lady at the little fucking I sell gum, whatever the hell it is. And she's like, "Excuse me, do you have the
biggest?" No, I broke out. Oh, yeah. I go, "Hey, man, how you doing? What are the biggest condoms you got?"
Yeah, what's the biggest size condoms you have? I turn around and walked away.
And you turned around and walked away, and I'm just staring at her, and I'm biting my tongue as hard as I can to not laugh, and then I just burst out laughing. And
she said what? And then when you went to repeat it,
started to try to point to it, and I lost it.
You lost it, and had to walk away. Paul, we're punch drunk out here. All right, I got to do a little, got to do some advertising here. Okay, Hulu Plus. Everybody, you've probably tried Hulu.com. This is new. This is Hulu Plus. You can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere with Hulu Plus. They told me to stress plus this week. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and a selection of acclaimed movies on your television or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. And it all streams in HD for the best viewing experience possible. This is incredible, Paul. You can watch stuff right on your phone in HD quality with Hulu Plus. I like this. You can watch your favorite current TV shows like Saturday Night Live, Community, and Family Guy. You can also check out exclusive content, including Hulu originals like The Authums, starring SNL's Seth Meyers, and Moon Boy, starring Chris O'Dowd from Bridesmaid. With Hulu Plus. Also offers a great selection of acclaimed films. For only $7.99 a month, you can stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, wherever you want. How do you get it? Right now, you can try Hulu Plus, free for just 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. This is a special offer for just my listeners. Make sure you go to HuluPlus.com/Bill so you get the extended free trial and that they know I sent you. Go to HuluPlus/Bill now or click on the Hulu Plus banner on the podcast page at BillBird.com. Oh, we're like a morning radio show here. All right. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Okay, guys, you've heard me talk about how much I love. DollarShaveClub.com. So why haven't you joined? It makes your life so much better. Like you don't have anything better to do than go to the store or anything better to spend your money on than razors. What's wrong with you? In the last 2 years, DollarShaveClub.com has saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundred thousand of guys' time by delivering amazing razors and high-quality grooming products right to their door. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. Shave with their razors. I'm a 4X guy, but my buddy swears by his executive. Is that my split personality talking there? And check out Dr. Cabba's Easy Shave Butter. Seriously, this stuff is amazing. It makes shaving feel like you're softly wiping whiskers off your face. Oh, what a visual that is. Tremendous writing there. And you can't forget about One Wipe Charlie's, the butt wipes for men. That's right, a butt wipe for men. Peppermint tingle, enough said. Try it out. Your sphincter will love you. Is that the right word for your asshole? What are you waiting for? You can get deliveries every other month if you need, and you can cancel any time if you don't like it. DollarShaveClub.com wants you to be great and keep extra cash in your pocket. I'm a member of DollarShaveClub.com. Now it's your turn. Dude, we've already made the point. Why are we still going here? Shave time, shave money. Join DollarShaveClub.com. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Burr to let them know that I sent you. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. Oh, Jesus. What do we got left here? I'll save those. One more here, Paul. What do you think? Back to the podcast? There we go.
Back to the podcast.
All right. I'll tell you what happened in Join Up here. Oh, let me tell you. Dude, they show fucking hockey highlights you can't believe. I'm not watching any games because I'm traveling and I'm totally staying up on it like that Sunday night when they show all the football highlights. It's incredible.
Everywhere we've gone down to sit, there's been a TV within our – right there playing hockey.
Staying right up on it. I'm watching the Bruins win. I'm watching Tyler Seguin having a great year, but they got smoked by the Sabres. I watched the Flyers highlights have a big win over the Penguins. I know Vancouver just beat Luongo down in Florida. I know that fucking old Flashy Toes there is back between the pipes in Montreal.
Price.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me now.
Vanek got his first goal as a Canadian. I'm just sitting there watching this, Paul, as I'm having a beer with you and an Irish coffee in a pub around the corner.
Ugh.
And my listeners know that I never drink on St. Patrick's Day. It's fucking amateur night. To use Jackie Gleason's famous phrase.
Not if you do it early enough, though. I think it's amateur hour tonight.
Listen, not if...
But we'll be there.
Not if you're in your hotel and all of a sudden they say there's a gas leak and you can fucking smell it.
Oh, how about
and
that?
And you have to run down the stairs. Then what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, how about
you
that?
You left half your shit in the room and you walk up the street and there's a guy with bagpipes playing. The green alligator in a long neck goose. You're not going to go in there?
You know, I'm glad you had to look at the band. I'm glad that you're my vantage point with my back to them and you had to look, because when she went into that like Irish hip hop beat and I just turned for a second and saw her like jumping up and down, I probably would have lost.
Oh yeah. She was going like
I love what you said where you go, dude, I hope this is good, because if it's not, I'm just going to have to stare at my beer.
Yeah, because she introed it, and it was good. I just did a brutal version of it, but it was more saying...
No,
like,
it was okay. They were actually very talented.
They were saying this is like Scottish beatboxing, and I just looked at Paul, and I go, Paul, she's about ready to do Scottish beatboxing from the old country, and I go, this is either going to be amazing, or I'm going to have to sit here staring at my beer.
Vancouver's awesome.
Praying for it to be over. Well, let's go to the gas leak. So we're sitting here in the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I know Verzi is not a morning person. I have not called you one – I haven't woken you up other than if we're going to the airport just to make sure you're coming. So if we have a day off, I don't fuck with you. I let you wake up.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't poke the bear. So I know that we're going to do the podcast. We were going to try to do it around 12 noon here. And because I'm trying to sleep off this little cold that I've caught. But all of a sudden, you call me. I'm like, oh, great, Verzi's up. And then you're like, dude, did you hear what's going on? There's a gas leak in the building. They told us to get out of here. And I'm just sitting there like.
No, I was walking out to go get lunch. And all of a sudden, I see a construction worker come in, full thing. And he just runs in. And he goes, hey.
Yeah,
hey,
running.
We got it running. Like, it scared me. As I'm walking out, he just goes, hey, we got a gas leak. And I just smell. And there's 100 construction workers outside and just warning people to run down the street. It was like a fucking scene. So I'm going, oh, shit, Bill's up there. So let me call Bill. Because it's a friend I am.
It's the shit that you thought about me.
So I call Bill and I go, dude, there's a gas leak and it smells. They're going to probably evacuate. You go, you cut me off. You heard gas leak and they're probably going to evacuate. You go, dude, I'm on my way down. And
yeah,
you
just
you got the fuck out of there.
I don't mind getting blown up. I'm worried about burning to death. So I had to get the fuck out of there. So I'm grabbing everything and I'm sitting there going, I got to get out of here. And I grab my watch and I'm like, that's going to be the move right there that fucking kills me. So I go outside, you know. Try to find the exit, and I'm running down the thing. And when I got to the right where I got, I'm on the fifth floor, okay? These construction guys were working on some sort of line in the street, and somebody fucked up and hit something. So I got right to the fire escape doors, dude, and it smelled like when you go to light a grill and you think you have some juice left in your automatic lighter, and there isn't. And you just take that extra 3 seconds to find some matches, and then you light it, and it goes... You know, yeah. You're like, whoa, what the fuck? That's what it smelled like, a little more intense. And I'm thinking, I'm on the fifth floor of this fucking place.
Yeah.
So I ran down those stairs and went out the side. And then I got out the side of the building thinking, okay, I'm safe. And I still smelled it, almost worse. And I was standing right outside the hotel trying to find you, and I could still smell it. I'm like, if this whole fucking thing's going up, I'm going to get knocked on my ass here because at the least, because I can still smell this shit. I got a hat on with the pom-pom, Paul. I'm going to go up like a fucking bowling alley. So then they told all of us to get the hell out of the way. And we backed up. We went down the street. We got some breakfast. And I thought it was a really nice moment.
It's never not funny.
The
nice thing is you got the out here. You wouldn't have burned. Right, with the balcony?
Because I got a balcony. Well, I have a balcony on the fifth floor, and then there's like a patio right on the other side of it. I don't know, Paul. When
that's
you're on
hilarious.
Fire.
Well, I don't mind blowing up. I just don't want to burn to death.
Well, I have to change.
No, that's fucking awful.
Yeah. If there's an explosion, I want to die. I don't want to be coming out, you know, running down the street like that naked girl in the Vietnam picture. That girl, like, she got burned by fucking Agent Orange. That's what she's running down the street because skin is hanging off her fucking backside.
Ugh.
Horrible. It's fucking horrible, Paul.
Yeah, but this, how great is Vancouver?
Yeah, now that we got the image of a naked girl running down the street on fire. That's all. But that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, no. That's...
Sorry, that image touched me when I saw it.
Nobody should die like that.
I swear to God, I hope they're finding this funny. This is going to be the most annoying podcast ever. Whatever, fuck you. You go to Canada for 20 days dancing like a monkey. You'd have to come up with some shit, too. We get emotional.
Yeah.
Vancouver's great.
Love it.
I loved Edmonton. Calgary, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance. Like, that street right outside our hotel, man, and all these bars and all these great places to eat. Really, really fucking fun towns.
Yeah.
And when I was in Winnipeg.
Oh, Winnipeg was rough, you know.
No, let me tell you, those people are tough, okay? Well, I saw a guy the other day. I don't know how to finish it. But
no, dude, Winnipeg was like, you know me, I don't like to fly. After Winnipeg, I was like, let's go to the airport. Like, and the people were great. And the food was great.
Dude, there's no way you, like, that part of the world to live there in the wintertime. It's you have to be a special kind of tough, or you're out the second you turn 18. Like, fuck you, parents, you're out.
Yeah, no, the people were great. The food was great. We had great food.
Food was outstanding. What was that? That tortillere I had, which is a French-Canadian
like a meat pie.
With a flaky crust, and they had the crust underneath. They didn't skimp on that. Sometimes you order a shepherd pie or a meat pie, and they just, you know, they fucking cook up the meat, stick it in a bowl, and then they put just the dough on the top.
Yeah, and I want
both parents to be there, right? The one on top and on the bottom, right? Just nestling that.
And you gave me a piece of it. It was unreal. I had chicken salad to make you cry. You know, it was great. We had great food over there.
Did you get emotional, Paul?
I've tasted a lot of things, but that was... No, I loved the room last night. I loved that, like, it's like kind of like a Beacon Theater right up front. That's what I loved. Edmonton was like long. Edmonton room almost was like Carnegie. It was just deep and layers.
I was on that night, dude. I went out there and the fucking ADD was working to my. Sometimes it fucks me up. It was working great.
Edmonton fucking.
Just shuffled the deck of all my jokes, and then that made me say other shit. And I was just like one of those things where. I felt like I was on stage for 5 minutes on that one.
No, dude, Edmonton was that was fucking Edmonton. Actually, I had a showstopper where like.
What do you mean? What do you mean, vaudeville?
I had a fucking.
This guy's a showstopper.
No, I had
a real triple threat.
No, I had a bad showstopper. I'm saying that in a bad way. You fucking Edmonton.
Oh, that was my fault. I shouldn't have told you to do that
joke. I did that joke where I was just like, you know, women, you know, you guys like get personal trainers. And you go all out for your wedding picture and your wedding day and you look great. You look like an Olympian. And then I go, and then it just kind of falls apart. But like, and the place just fucking stopped.
Yeah. Someone in the crowd went, wow.
Somebody goes, oh my God.
Yeah.
And like, I had the bit I did before it killed. And then I did that and I go, no. And I kind of saved it when I go, no, what I'm saying is like, you should just come down the aisle the way you're going to be. Like what I'm going to be looking at for the next 40 or 50 years. And like half of them laughed, but I was just like, somebody was like, well, so then I told you afterwards. And the look on your face, you were just like, wow.
Yeah.
Fuck.
No, but I was the idiot. You said it to me in the restaurant. It was fun. It was funny to me. So I said, dude, you got to do that on stage. And then somehow the way you said that you said it, I was just like, I mean, that's fucking, I mean, that, dude, you can't. Women have to, they have to give birth. Can you imagine that, Paul?
No matter
what the fuck you do, you stay in shape, you do all that, and then if you're going to have another kid, you're basically going to have to go through that. I mean, they're angels.
No,
Paul.
What I'm saying
they're
is,
saints.
They should.
How could you?
No, what I'm saying is, and this is what I'm saying, you know, I know women, dude, and you know, my wife looks great. She had two kids and everything, and I know women go through a lot of shit and have kids. I'm saying, don't put on that show for everybody else. Be who the fuck you're going to be. It's the same way people, you know, clean up for company. Like, what, the regular family's not good? You know, Aunt Betty, who we don't see ever, who's coming over once a fucking year, is what you got to get on your hands and knees with a toothpick or a toothbrush.
You know what? I'll go with this. It does suck when it's somebody that you don't give a shit about and your wife's saying, we got to clean this fucking place up.
Yeah.
And they're going all, it isn't just like, okay, let's just pick a room that we throw all the shit in and close the door. Like, they actually want you to clean up that.
They're coming in from Maryland. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to see him again.
Right.
You know?
Right, but as far as them looking good on the Wednesday, I want them to look as good as they can. I want to look good.
I know. I was trying to do a joke, and it fucking backfired.
Paul, I wasn't there for you as a friend, you know, and I'll tell you, that's going to haunt me forever. what was the name of that theater that we played in Winnipeg, man?
Burton Cummings?
Yeah, that place, I got a little, some of the history of that. That place was made in 1908.
Yeah.
And they had these fucking stairs in the back. Now, everybody, Charlie Chaplin, who's the guy there? Fatty Arbuckle, Harry Houdini, all these, it was a vaudeville theater for like the first 30 years before the talkies took over, see? And they still had like the original stairs in the back when you walked up to the green room. And these are like slabs. I don't know what kind of stone it is, but from years of people walking up in it where you basically you put your feet, there was like these indentations from people scuffing up as they were walking up or coming
down. How high did it go, remember?
Yeah, and then outside the upper deck of it, the mezzanine in the upper deck, they used to have pews all the way through them, and then they put seats in at some point. But in the upper deck, they still had these wooden pews. And during my set, because the acoustics are incredible, because you're talking 1908, I mean, I don't think they could really amplify voice at that point, could they?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We're idiots. But I don't think they could. So it was acoustically perfect building. So when people were way up in that upper deck, we're talking like an old hockey barn for hockey fans there or basketball fans where you felt like if you leaned too far forward, you'd fall right on the emblem at center ice or center court. And these people would walk down, and it's making that sound like, you know, almost like an old chair makes all that rickety shit. And it sounded like it was right above me. And I was sitting there going, are these fucking union guys walking around making noise during my show? And I kept making jokes like that they were already changing the marquee and they were over me. And what it was people in that upper deck were walking down just to go to the bathroom and get a drink. But the acoustics were so unbelievable. And it was so fucking steep. It sounded like it was right above my head.
Yeah.
It was amazing. That was one of my...
That place was old school, man.
Yeah, I like old shit, dude. So I actually walked up there. At the end of my show, I wish you did it, dude. It reminded me, there's one in Seattle that we did, the Moore Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I think they shot the video for Even Flow When I Heard It.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Boom, bucka, chucka, da, boom. That one, right? When he's fucking hanging and he's looking like he's bleary-eyed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's crazy, but he isn't. He knows exactly what he's doing. He already knows he wants to fire his drummer. We played that one, and that one was really interesting where, just like this one that we played in Winnipeg, they have separate entrances for the upper deck, and that I don't know if they had segregation up here, but in Seattle, that was what that was for. That upper deck, you had a completely separate entrance, no fucking elevator, and you just walked up flight after flight after flight, and these were serious flights, like 14 groupings. You know, two groups of like 14 to get to one floor all the way, all the way, all the way up. And I was joking with the guy going, this is why African-Americans kick the shit out of white people because in sports, because we just strolled into the theater. Hell yes. And just have a seat. You got to do like the fucking Stairmaster all the way up and come back down just to see a fucking show.
And that's like insanely high, man. Like that was scary high.
Yeah.
Like when
incredible.
You say steep, it's like you don't want to lean forward like steep. Like you'll fucking it was scary.
Yeah.
Man.
Like I would not want to be like hammered.
Oh, no.
Up there, and then, you know, smoke a little joint or something, or smoke a cigar that made me fucking lightheaded. I would just be like, I mean, if I had to leave, I would go hands and knees backwards down like a little, you know, a little toddler goes downstairs. That's how I would exit with the fear.
You like the Burton Cummings one? I think the Vogue last night was one of my favorites, man.
Oh, dude, those were two great crowds, too.
Yeah.
And we're not shitting on Calgary, by the way. It was just that second show, dude. It's been a while. Since I've been in front of people that drunk. But we had another amazing week. Now, when did we play hockey? Oh, wait. We went to the Bruins-Canadians game.
Yeah.
What is the name of that place? Molson Center?
Yeah.
Oh, they changed it. Whatever the fuck it is now. You know, I don't know. Some sort of cellular company. But it's just an amazing place to go to where you see all those retired numbers, all those Stanley Cup banners, and just how into it people are. There was some people leaving early. Down below, that kind of disappointed me.
Well, I mean, but it was a beatdown.
It was a beatdown.
You know,
Bruins fucking killed.
You're down three goals in the third period.
Hey, and I wasn't obnoxious either. I didn't like the guy who brought me to it. He was a Canadiens fan. He said, "Hey, we're going to go into this, you know, the famous, I don't know, one of the levels there, the mezzanine level. They have this pub." And the guy who hooked us up with the ticket said, "Listen, I know he's a big Bruins fan, but out of respect, could you just not wear stuff? It gets weird when you go in there." And I was just like, "Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to fucking do that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm going to stand up and cheer when we score, but I'm not going to be that asshole going, in the face, you know, giving him shit or whatever. I'm not going to do that.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah. So I just sat there and I thoroughly fucking enjoyed it. And but earlier that day, we actually some of the guys from Just for Laughs, Bruce Hill." Hooked us up with some ice time.
And I got the shit kicked out of me.
Yeah, and Verzi played hockey for the first time. We played at this you know, they got a zillion rinks out there. And there was old Canadian, Stefan Quintel, who played, you know, back when I was first going to games and shit like that. Or maybe about 5 years into when I started going to games. And he somehow, I forget how it was. but his jersey was framed there. So anyways, we played on this little sort of mini rink where you had the floating blue line. You bring it to the zone, then the red line becomes the blue line. And I got to tell you, Verzi, fucking animal. He's out there with just gloves, a stick, and a helmet. Dude, you had like three shots on net. On like, I mean, I don't know if you try like trying to tap rebounds in his shots on that. I don't know how that fucking works. But, dude, you had like three in one shift. Yeah. And I was sitting there laughing on the bench going, this fucking guy's got more shots on net in one shift.
Well, one of the guys was like, dude, you might, I said, like, we were talking like maybe throughout the whole game, I might have had like 12 shots on, but I didn't know how to stop. I got the shit kicked out of me. I'm falling down and everyone's got pads but me. So I'm the most novice in this thing. All right. And the only thing I had was gloves and a helmet. I'm falling on my knees and elbow getting. And like, it was so legit that there were two locker rooms. You had your own jerseys. There was a timer. These guys had shifts. And I'm getting thrown into this thing. Okay. I haven't been on the ice.
Now, you know why I've been dragging all my stuff up here? Because it's like, if we're going to play, I want to make sure I'm protected. And I'm not going to wear somebody else's smelly stuff that's fucking. That's gross, dude. That's like the pad version of using your buddy's toothbrush. It's gross.
But yeah, and typical me, I'm like, I don't know how to play, but I just know scoring position from floor hockey. So I just would go down, get into scoring position, not know how to stop, and just fucking get the shit kicked out of me.
I'll tell you this. One thing a coach would never have to tell you is go to the net. That's all you did. The second your team got the puck.
I just went to the net.
You didn't understand offsides, though. You were offsides a couple of times. What the fuck? Dude, you would just put your head down. And just start just skating. And you had your stick on the ice.
The wrong way. Because every time I shot, I would need a lefty stick. So I had the righty stick, which had it opposite. And I kept doing backhands with the wrong stick. But I did hit the post on that one.
Your backhand was lethal because you had a right-handed stick. Everybody thought you were right-handed. And he's going down. I'm going, look at this fucking guy. He's got like all these shots in neck. And he's playing left-handed with a right-handed stick. It was all right.
Yeah. No, man. No, you're good, man. You're good at it. I was.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping you were going to say something, you know, because I'm a little self-conscious about it.
I definitely recognized it.
I skate all right until I get the puck. I swear to God, dude, it's just, it all falls apart. You know what's the funniest thing when I play with guys? It's two passes to me before my whole team figures it out. And then it's just like, I have to be like literally going across the blue line screaming, believe in me, something to get the fucking puck back. But they know.
No, but you had some good passes, shot on goal.
I like playing D.
There was a 13-year-old kid there. There was a 14-year-old kid there, and I just was like, but I almost hurt myself. Remember, I slammed my head, dude.
Yeah, that was bad. I was like, no, I knew you were going to be sore. Everyone was saying, hey, go take some Advil, and you're like, no, dude, I feel fine. And when you fall, like the way you were falling, those are those deep fucking bruises, and they don't show up for at least 24 hours.
The best thing Bruce did, he goes, dude, you don't want a concussion. And he brings me a helmet and I slip back.
Oh, dude. If the way you fell.
On my head, dude, I would have been over.
Oh, yeah. That would have had that awful, kunk, that fucking sound of a head hitting the back of a head hitting the ice.
Oh, my God. I fell so bad one time. Somebody skating by. I thought it was you. Somebody just goes, you got air on that one. Like, I was getting the shit kicked out of me.
But this is the thing, though. You were doing it. To yourself, just let people know. It's not like people were knocking him down. This was a non-contact game. Paul would just go head of fucking steam, like you were going to run the goalie or something.
The best compliment I got was when somebody goes, I never played ice hockey before. And he was like, wow, you got good balance. And I was like, have you been watching?
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, let me do advertising. We got some great questions this week. All right. Stamps.com, everybody. I know it's tough deciding where to focus your resources to grow your business, but one thing I can tell you, you don't need to waste valuable time going to the post office for mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to access all the services of the post office right from your desk 24/7. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Get postage for any letter or package, any class of mail, all for just a fraction of the cost of an expensive postage meter. With Stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again, so you can spend your time where it matters most, focused on your business. I use Stamps.com to send out all my DVDs, my T-shirts, my posters, Paul, whatever crap I'm selling at the end of one of my little dances. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer. No risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. You click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. Dude, I fucking killed that one. E-voice. Now that I said that, now I'm going to be in my head. Watch this one. All right. Regroup. Okay? We still got another half to play. Okay. I just don't want to mess it up. E-voice. You're a business owner, but automated phone systems and secretaries are not in your budget just yet, and juggling incoming calls yourself makes it hard to look like a professional. Here's something that will dramatically help you make more money in 2014. E-voice. Whether you're a business of 1 or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls. With a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools, your business will sound like $1 million. Can't take a call? No problem. eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it right to you. Never be caught off guard again. And with eVoice, you can try it before you buy it. Right now, just for my listeners, you can get a 60-day trial to eVoice for absolutely free. Go to eVoice.com and enter the promo code Bill, B-I-L-L, at checkout. Take charge of your business and make more money in 2014. Go to eVoice.com and enter Bill at checkout for your 60-day free trial. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. Damn, that wasn't bad.
Killing it.
Crushing it. One more, people. Here we go. LegalZoom. If the excitement of starting your business, getting your first customer, and finally quitting your job hasn't moved you to action yet, here's another great reason to get started. It's National Start Your Business Month, everybody. That LegalZoom wants to help you start your own corporation or LLC or file a DBA so you can get up and running quickly and easily. Find out why more than 1 million entrepreneurs use LegalZoom to start down the path of successful business ownership. This month only, take advantage of their National Start Your Business Month special and get a free 3-month trial of the all-new QuickBooks, making it so much easier to run your new business. That's $119 value for absolutely free when you enter Burr in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. LegalZoom provides self-help services and can connect you with the right attorney, but they are not a law firm. LegalZoom, promo code Burr. There you go. I went, you know, I'm up 2-1. all right, back to the podcast here. Oh, before I go any further, everybody, one of my favorite comics that's on his way up the comedy ladder, Tom Segura from Your Mom's House podcast, right here on the All Things Comedy Network, that he does with his lovely and absolutely fucking hilarious wife, Christina Pazitsky. I'm the worst trying to read. Tom has a new special out called Completely Normal that you can download as of March 15th on iTunes. I love this guy because he's just one of those, he doesn't give a shit in a good way. Like, he goes out, he's not afraid of silence. He has something to say. Dude, him and his wife, arguably. Okay? I know Burns and Allen. Fuck them. Okay? You want to go with these two. They crush it. Like, we have like those All Things Comedy shows sometimes. We were doing them down at Luna. And Christina came down one night and absolutely just fucking destroyed. I'm trying to think, we had Tom down there too. I've watched Tom at like the Improv forever, but he's the real deal, and he's on his way to making his mark. And he has a new comedy special out. Like I said, Completely Normal. So check it out. All right, first question of the week, and Paul, I know you're gonna love this one because you've been absolutely obsessed with this. This says the name of the question is "Where's the plane?"
Oh yeah, let's go.
He says, Bill, using whatever knowledge you have of the situation, whether it be a lot or a little, please break down what happened on that plane.
This is right up my alley. First of
all, it's right up your
alley. I've been annoying you.
And you hate flying. I tell you, we know what's annoying is I have to blow my nose because I'm coming on with a cold. So why don't you start as I walk over here to blow my nose off mic because I'm a professional. What do you think, Paul? You're the guest. I'll let you go first. Here, would you like a glass? Go ahead. What do you think?
I think obviously the plane was hijacked. I think that's why you know, it's hard to.
Sorry.
No,
can you hear that on the mic?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the plane was hijacked. Of course, I think that's why the communication was cut out, and then they have proof that it kind of diverted and changed its course, and then nobody heard anything. I think the fact that the fucking thing is not in the water, there's 230 people on a 777. I've flown in a 777 to Italy.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's your nickname, Paul 777.
That is a huge, yeah, I mean, that's what I fly in. No, and there was
– I won't go unless it's a 7.
If it's not a 7, yeah. Yeah. It's glass. It's glass the whole way.
It's a lucky number, you know?
Okay. You think I'm in that 737? You're nuts. No. So there was no debris, nothing. So I don't think that the – I think – that the plane – they said that the plane could have flown for 6 hours after they lost contact. That fucking thing could be anywhere right now. There's going to be a movie about this. I think – I hope they didn't off everybody, you know, God forbid. But right. I think the plane landed somewhere and was hidden. And then I think the people that did it, I think – I don't know what they did with the people. But, you know, I don't think it's in the ocean somewhere.
All right. Let's – you know, come on. You got to put some money on.
Well, listen, I don't –
What country are you picking? Kazakhstan?
They said it could have gone as far as Kazakhstan.
Tajikistan, all of those stands?
Liam from Borat, Kazakhstan. I think that it landed somewhere and it's fucking, it's just an awful situation. But,
this is what I think.
It's the aliens, Bill.
You think?
I don't know.
I think with each day that passes that there's no sort of demand or anything like that, I'm thinking more. Unfortunately, and I don't know, sadistically or whatever, they flew it way off course. And I don't know. I mean, how – unless you dump a plane in, like, the shipping lanes, what is the odds?
But planes have a beacon. Planes have a beacon.
But it was turned off. I mean, I don't know. There's something that where they can track it was fucking turned off. And the people knew how to do it. So I think with every passing day
– yeah.
Like – it's not a good – like there's no demands. It's just really weird that if – you know, there's always some crazy reason to draw attention to something that someone does something like this. The fact – the only hope that I have is the fact that they haven't asked for any demands yet is – I don't know. That I mean, what? You wanted the plane? I mean, what the fuck, you know? How fucked up is your country? You can't get a 777. Christ, they're laying all over the place.
But what's the motive of the hijackers?
I don't know, but I really felt for the family members because they're sitting there and they're talking about the airline, how the airline is handling this like a business rather than, you know, what is going on. And they go, we can't comment on anything right now because basically, you know, it's a corporation. They're like, we're going to get the shit suit out of us. Let's try to limit how much we're going to get the shit suit of. Like, they go into that fucking mode.
Yeah.
But it's one of those awful things where, you know, also, you know, the victims are going to go into, we're going to sue the shit out of your mode. So it's just like if people could just, in this moment, if the airline could be allowed to just say, we're fucking devastated. I mean, we had employees on that plane too, you know, and everybody could just share information and there wouldn't be that stupid, you know, lawyers licking their chops on both sides or one cowering and the other side licking their chops. Maybe they could at least make it a little more comforting for those people. But I guess there's no comedy here, dude. That's just, it's fucking awful.
I just feel bad for, you know, those kids on there and shit, man. It's fucked up, man. It's awful. And it's one of the most unprecedented mysteries. Like a 777 with fucking 230 people disappeared and nobody knows where it is and the airlines don't have answers. And 10 countries had their navies fucking just scour the fucking ocean and nobody could find it.
Right.
It's crazy, man.
Well, I mean, there's a kind of good thing there that maybe what they're still alive and there's something you can do to negotiate. But the thing about trying to land a plane like that, it's not like you could just go to some bootleg fucking airstrip. I mean, you need a lot of fucking runway to land something that big. It's not like you could go to fucking,
right,
you know, some little ass, you know.
Unless they had it planned in a hangar.
Yeah, but then what the fuck? So what are you doing? So you got us. You took the fucking plane. You took the people. What do you want? Where are the people? It's annoying. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if they had a plan and then they shut everything off and then something else went wrong.
Because
they got to be looking at satellite footage, like say even like remote areas, jungles and shit, looking for pictures of smoke and fire, something to try and find the fucking thing. I mean, look, the biggest mystery still on the planet is the ocean. So I think that that's where it is. It's at the bottom of the fucking ocean in some place where we can't find it. I hope it isn't. But that's what I would guess, just for the simple fact that it's just weird that nobody claimed responsibility. There's no ransom demands. How do you sneak a fucking 777 into something?
with the amount of fuel they had, they know the distance it could go. There had to be something, dude. There had to be something. The fact that it's not, it should be on every fucking, like, it, I don't think that there's enough coverage of it. You know? They got a picture of Justin.
You know what? What the fuck? They probably would be a lot. Well, at some point when there's no new information, it becomes like this fucking 250, 270 person cold case file they're trying to find. It's insane. It's fucking insane.
It is. It is. And that's why I kept asking you every day. We'd go hang out and Bill would go, Paul, I can't fucking – you keep talking about it. And I'm like, I can't get it. I don't get it.
Because you got this obsession with fucking planes and safety, you know, because you're afraid to fly. I don't fucking think about shit like that. And now your fear is starting to rub off me. I'm getting scared when I go to the airport.
I didn't mean to project my fears on you.
It's okay. You're only human. All right. Whatever. I really hope that ends, you know.
I hope there's a happy ending.
There's some
ending
sort of
that.
Chuck Norris Delta Force thing that ends it fucking happily. But that is a rough situation. Oh, my God. And the fucking poor people, they got to just sit there wondering when, what's going on? Are they suffering now? What's going on? It's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
All right. Great question, buddy. All right. What's your beef? Dear Farmer Bill, if you could only eat one type of meat and one type of vegetable for the rest of your life, what would they be? Got to figure some choices are more versatile in the kitchen. All right. I wouldn't go fish because I would worry that I'd get the mercury thing. I couldn't go red meat because I end up like John Wayne. Chicken is all slimy in your fucking entrails. I would have to go, what else is there? Turkey? I go turkey.
I'd go chicken because if you cook it enough, like you'll get any kind of – but yeah, you're right. The mercury in the fish, red meat, your bowel, your fucking –
mercury in the fish and God knows what that meltdown in Japan has done to the fucking sushi. Jesus.
Oh, I had sushi yesterday, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love fucking sushi. You know.
Yeah, you know what you got to do, Paul. You know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
You're not going to have sushi.
But no, I'd go chicken and vegetable. I hate vegetables. So, maybe spinach, a little garlic. You know,
I love vegetables.
Oh, chicken! You can make chicken
me fucking
parm.
Sad if I, this is like fucking sad. So I guess I would have turkey every day with. I almost want to pick a vegetable that I don't love because I don't want to end up hating it because I have to eat it every day. Cauliflower every day for the rest. You fucking! I already hate that shit.
No, cauliflower's.
Unless they make the cauliflower mashed potatoes, those aren't bad. But the only reason why it's not bad is because you got all the butter and salt and pepper in there.
Yeah, but
I would go turkey because I could make a turkey sandwich. I could make turkey sausage. I could make shrimp this, shrimp that. We saw that guy in Montreal.
Yeah, I know.
That actor.
We were in the elevator with Bubba.
Bubba Gump. And I didn't I only saw that movie once.
Yeah, I walked in there and I was like, oh, shit. And then we walked in. I was like, you know who that was, dude? I was like, yeah, he was in Heat.
And he was funny and really friendly,
he was
too.
Funny and insanely friendly. And then I wanted to go up and say something or invite him to his show. And I was just like, let me fucking leave this guy alone. Right. You said you saw another. There was a bunch of people. They were filming a movie in a hotel.
Turkey bacon? Trying to think all the different fucking ways I could do it.
Well, you wouldn't go turkey. Turkey, you'd be a nightmare. After your fifth turkey sandwich, you'd be like, I fucked up.
Dude, after chicken every fucking day?
Chicken parmesan, chicken scampi.
You're doing what I just did. Chicken.
No, you're going turkey sandwich, turkey sausage. I'm talking you could put marinara with melted mozzarella. That's good for a month. You know,
every fucking day, you'd be a tub of shit. You'd be a tub of shit, dude. You gonna eat chicken palm every other day?
You wouldn't be a tub of shit if you eat chicken every day. You know, you got to mix it up.
Chicken palm with all the pasta and all that shit. You got the fucking bread, your red wine, discussing crimes, whatever you Sicilians do. I guess I would go turkey. I love a turkey sandwich, and I think chicken's overrated. And then just the shit that, you know, chicken's, you know, you got the salmonella. You got all that fucking shit with that, you know.
Oh, there's a problem with everything.
You know, Paul, maybe I have a problem with you. You ever think that?
No. I'd go chicken spinach.
Chicken spinach. I would go turkey. Yeah, but turkey really doesn't go good with a vegetable. Chicken spinach is a good one. Ah, Christ, Paul, you're better at this than I am. All right, dude. You committed some crazy fucking murder.
Yeah.
You're on death row. You got your final meal. What are you going to have?
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, let me tell you, that's a rough one, you know?
That was so funny. You asked me that. I had to actually lean back in the chair for that one. That's tough, man.
This is assuming you could eat. You weren't so nauseous that they're going to fucking kill me here.
Yeah, I never understood that. They showed a list of what all the serial killers got. And like one guy, like Bundy or one of those guys just got an apple. But another guy got fucking like he wanted a whole pie with like pepperoni. He wanted sandwiches. And like he got the whole thing. Like he just like everything.
That's a true fucking like.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to sit, you know what I mean?
He's at a food court.
Like, the guy eating an apple, he's probably just like, let me just taste one last thing.
Well, Ted Bundy was a fucking
animal. I don't know if it was Bundy. It might have been that McVeigh guy that blew up.
No, Timothy McVeigh, and I remember this.
He ate an apple.
He got a pint of mint chocolate chip. And that stuck with me because I was like, I love mint chocolate chip. And I eat a pint all the time. And that actually seemed like if someone was going to fucking kill me. And I don't have any sympathy for these fucking people either. But I'm just saying, if someone's going to kill me, you know, it would. And I know. You know, we're fucking going to kill you at this time, and it's coming up. I want something that's going to be a little easy on my stomach. And for some reason, I just think ice cream would be nice. It'd just be comforting.
Dude, I love chicken cutlets, man. Like, I know, like, my mind, right when you ask the question, I'm thinking Italian or sushi because I love it. But I love chicken cutlets with lemon squeezed on them. So I might do, like, a shitload of chicken cutlets.
You just said chicken, and I just thought chicken and dumplings, which I haven't had a long time. Is there anything better than dumplings?
Dumplings are great.
Chicken and dumplings, and then, but then the mint chocolate chip. The mint wouldn't go good with the debt.
Did they let you drink?
On what?
Like, on your last meal, if you ordered a bottle of red.
Dude, that would be funny if you were hammered.
All right, what do you got? Let's do this.
Yeah, you'd
fuck you. Fuck you. You guys are looking. Ooh, you're going to kill the killer, you fucking pussies.
Yeah, you got enough guys? All my murders were one-on-one. Look at you guys. 5-on-1. Ooh. What are the odds? You feel good about yourself? Huh?
I don't think
you feel successful. Hang your hat on this one.
I don't think they let him drink. That'd be fucking great.
Why you guys all have the same clothes on? Would you all call each other? Making the other psychos laughing as you're leaving? Show me the way to go home.
That judge was a fucking fag.
That's what you would do.
You would just start talking shit. Oh, the would. DA, he did good. Huh? It only took his 8 years.
You go into the death chamber and all the fucking family members are looking. You guys do stuff too. Only difference between me and you is I got caught. That's all I'm saying. How you doing, sweetheart? That'd be fucking amazing.
Oh, dude. That'd be hilarious.
Just walking out.
Hey, buddy, before you do it, buddy, you know the way they keep asking the question, buddy, it only took you 5 years. I had those hookers in the attic forever.
Dude, this is so bad. Hey, did you, there's been a couple of guys, you know, some of their last words. One of the guys, his last name was French, and he yelled over the reporters. He goes, hey, and he was going to the electric chair. He goes, hey, he goes, I got your headline for tomorrow. He goes, French fries. He's like, laughs, and then they electrocuted him.
Dude, you see the one guy that they did it to, and they thought he was fried, and he popped up, and he was like he popped up like in a fucking horror movie. He was like a big guy, and it didn't take. They electrocuted him, and they're all sitting there.
Was that Tom Hanks movie, or that really happened?
No, a guy. They showed it on one of those shows where they jolted him. And like normally, like the normal person
what
is out.
Show?
And he just went, it was like one of those death row inmate, or like it was like a, you know, people protesting outside. One of the guys
You were dead on Discovery Channel.
No. And he like popped up for a second.
They popped up part two.
No, I'm telling you. Scared the shit out of the fucking.
Hey, you got to make sure they're dead, you know? Got a friend of mine. You can electrocute them.
I got a friend of mine. You can take a beating.
Right? This guy's rough, okay? Why? They put him in the electric chair. He got right back up, okay?
Boy, I got a friend. He's tough, you know?
Sometimes I wish I was tougher.
We all do, Bill.
We're not high, people. We're not drunk. This is what
we've
done.
Dude, if I was higher now, I'd be fucking losing my mind.
All right. Sad music. Oh, this is right up our alley. Why'd you bring it up? All right. Sad music. Dear Bill, from what you talk about on the From what you talk about on the podcast, it seems like You're mostly into classic rock and music that involves really talented musicians. Do you ever listen to emotional music? I mean, like a sad acoustic track or just anything depressing? Verzi's already losing it. If so, do you put it on when you're sad or when you're happy? No. I listen to that stuff. Sometimes I like to get emotional when I'm in the car.
What song were we singing in the car? Just once. I'm going to try to make it last forever, just one night.
Try to do something else.
And something. Yes. We were doing that.
Oh, we were saying we'd say that to our wives one time when they were like bitching at us. Like, how come you blah, 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 and blah, blah, and it's in the middle of them yelling. Just go.
Just stare at them and just go, just once. I wish you'd shut the fuck up while I take a shower.
Why does there always have to be something to do? Can't we just lie around the house just once?
You know, Paul, you keep procrastinating and you sleep in late and the kids are up. Just once. I wish you'd let me sleep in and keep
shut your mouth. You fucking talk all the time, and you have nothing to say, lady. All right, sorry. Sad music. Do I listen to sad music? Yeah. Probably the first sad songs I listened to, other than Elton John, where he was a little too on the head,
what do you
right?
consider sad, though? Like, that's what I want to know.
AC/DC, Ride On, Lonely Guy on the Road. That was probably my first one. Dude, every fucking heavy metal band had those Home Sweet Homes.
I'll tell you what's sad. You want to know what's a sad one?
That we never
we're halfway there. Living on a prayer.
Yeah.
You know, what's a sad song? I don't know.
Cats in the Cradle.
You're going rock, though. I'm thinking more of like the just once, like, you know.
Oh. You can't go hip-hop. Hip-hop, you can't do a sad song. They try to do emotional rap. Remember that?
Yeah.
And some people still try.
Yeah, like when
like that guy Drake, man. I just like I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
you know, good looking guy. He's got a beard and shit, so women like him. But like when it just gets too, I don't want to hear a rapper opening up.
No, rappers try to open up when one of their rapper friends dies, but it's never really sad. You're more just like, you know, they'll just be like, you know, they just rap and yeah. You know the way they do.
Yeah,
it
they're
for
pouring out a 40 for them. That's like the most they'll do. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, keep it like that. Okay.
Nobody was better than you. Like it's like that. You can't get. You know.
You know, one of my favorite things in this business was Opie from the Opie and Anthony Show. Was he had this thing that he would do when guys would start crying when they would play audio.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was fun, and his timing was perfect every time. Someone would be talking like retiring from a sport. Like when Mike Schmidt retired, which is, you know, it's very difficult to watch. He was like, you know, he just was ending. It's like 38 years ago, a little boy began a journey to play the wonderful game of baseball. And then Opie would always go, oh boy. One of my favorite, and always.
Oh boy.
It always made, oh God.
Like, that's great.
Like nobody wants to see a man just completely. You know what it is? I can watch a guy cry if something terrible has happened. Just don't try to talk while you're crying.
No, that's the thing. The talking and then bursting out into crying.
Just let your shoulders go.
Yeah.
As you're fucking crying. But don't, for the love of God.
A man needs to cry. A man needs to cry in private.
Yeah, you do that in the shower.
You do it in the shower. Like when my son was born, everyone's like, did you cry yet? And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And then when my son was born, it all hit me later. And I went home to go get stuff for my wife in the hospital. And I sat on the couch and I didn't like weep, but I just got. I didn't weep, but I got emotional. But like,
I'm just picturing you sitting on the couch by yourself and just you just go. That stupid face. Oh, it's just completely unacceptable. To use your thing from your podcast.
That's unacceptable.
The Verzi effect.
It's unacceptable, dude.
Completely unacceptable.
No, you're right, though. The talk into it, right?
Yeah.
The talk into it. That's what the funny thing about crying is, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you always do this to me. You know, you always do this to me, and I'm trying my best. And then it's over.
Yeah.
It's fucking over.
Whenever my friends die, I've had so many who fucking died, I just cry in the shower.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I asked a girl. We asked a girl, right?
Because you don't feel like you're crying because there's all that water on your face anyway.
No, we asked a girl. We go, what would you do if your dude started crying? Like if nobody died, If a dude and you were just arguing.
He just had a bad day.
And he just had a bad day, and you got into it, and he broke down and cried. And she goes, yeah, no, over.
Over.
Over. Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. You know what's funny? There's some women, they think that they want to see that part of you.
They don't.
What that is to them is that's their total conquest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you bang a girl in the ass, and you're just like, yeah, I got this shit. I'm fucking with you.
No, yeah.
Their version of that.
I was just like, Jesus, Bill.
No, I'm fucking with you. Their version of that is if they can get you to be so vulnerable around them that you cry. And then it's one of those things. It's almost like when the crowd screams out a joke they already heard. They think they want to hear it again. And then you tell. It's like, wasn't as good.
No.
It's the same thing as that.
Yeah. And you said something. You said something about, like, if a burglar comes in, if you cry in front of a woman, all in her mind is like, what if the burglar comes in on this fucking guy?
Yeah. No, it's over.
You can't cry. You strip a woman of security if you cry in front of her, I think. I don't think I've cried. I think my wife's.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, like, you strip her of her security because now she's like, "Well, I got this fucking,
yeah,
I got this fucking
crisis.
I got this baby sleeping next to me every night." You know, yeah, it's over. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, you might as well just have a pullover sweater on. You know, walking around.
And then she mocks you. What are you gonna cry, bitch?
Yeah, you're so mean. Yeah, it's fucking over, dude. You can't have that. So sad music, Cats in the Cradle, the classic one. No, I actually listen to a lot of – believe it or not, like, I mean, you always have, like, your core shit that you listen to.
I like some Phil Collins, When It's Sad.
What does he have?
Oh, how I wish it would rain
down me.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I hated that annoying one when he was sitting there, like, ruining my day by bringing up homeless people. Like, I don't look at them and feel bad for them. Yeah,
it's which
another
one was it?
Day for you and me.
Oh,
think twice, cause it's just another day for you and me. You and me in paradise.
That
fucking stupid song.
Yeah, no.
I hate when people do. Unless all the money to that went to homeless people, that's just pandering to the
crowd. Have you ever cried alone listening to a song? Or, like, not cried, but have you ever been like.
Oh, no, I've completely broken down and I've totaled 3 cars just weeping uncontrollably. No. Have I? Yeah. Have I?
The
word weep. Totally cried. No. I've definitely teared up. Listen, as an artist, at some point you're gonna have to go to those emotions. You need to be in tune with your instrument. No, I have. What was the ones? Like, I had this weird thing where I stopped crying at some point. I don't know when. I stopped crying and got mad more when I got hurt and my brother beat the shit out of me. You know, the most of the crying I'd be is just like fuck you at the end of it, but I wasn't crying. And then. I didn't cry.
Dude, I remember one time, my brother's bigger than me. Little brother's bigger than me, right? Big, though. Like, and I remember I said, if you fucking take my clothes again, if you take my clothes again, he did it every day.
Right.
He would go into my room, he would take my belt, he would take my clothes, and I'd come home and
you guys in a boy band?
And I need to go out.
Right.
And I go, Mom, if he does it again, I'm fucking hitting him. And my mom would be like, oh, you know, he did. And one time I really needed a shirt. And I'm fucking throwing shit through the house. And he gets out of his friend's car and he starts walking up and he's got it on. And I fucking snapped. And my grandmother was there and I jumped on him and I started punching him. And he stood up and he just goes, fuck you.
Wait, you made your older brother cry?
No, my younger brother.
Oh.
He was bigger than me. But he didn't know what to do. He got so upset that he looked around. And he was so angry that something needed to come out. And he just goes, fuck. Dude.
What, did you feel bad? Did you start laughing?
No, I kind of just walked away, and you know, we laughed about it afterwards. But now he's a big kid. But you know, my mom had the opposite.
I got a little brother, he's an animal. You know.
No, my mom said she went to a funeral once, and everybody was there, and everybody was crying, and she was overwhelmed with emotion that they had to fucking drag her out. She said she had one of the most embarrassing things happen to her, where she said she uncontrollably laughed. Because they said that could happen sometimes. So she's sitting there. she's sitting there and everybody's crying. And like she went up and she could not stop laughing. And like she – and I said, why? Like, and she was like, Paul, I just don't know. She goes, I could not stop laughing and they had to walk me out. And like – and she just
– mom?
Yeah. She said because the emotions were so much that they said that could happen sometimes. where it just you she didn't know what to do. So instead of just breaking down, she went the other way and just couldn't control herself.
Yeah, no, like humor like will protect you in a really like that's what they don't get sometimes when comics make fucking horrific jokes about some bad event. Make good jokes.
Yeah,
but it's about a horrific event, so they go, "That's so fucking mean." It's a defense mechanism. It's
no,
also,
my mom is a sweetheart who felt bad, and her emotions just went the other way. And she goes, "Paul, I felt so bad, I couldn't control myself." She said, I couldn't control myself.
I hate to say this because somebody lost somebody, but if there was video of that, oh my god. Oh, so I was saying, so I somewhere around I don't know 10 or 11, I didn't cry for years, and I didn't cry until a friend of mine killed himself. And even then, I was sad, and it's just I went. I was in the bathroom once again,
yeah.
And it was in there, and I remember I started to cry, and then I started thinking like, "Wow, I'm crying. I haven't cried in a long time." And then I stopped because I was out of it because I stopped thinking about the dude killing himself.
Wow, yeah, I went 10 years without a cry, and then I had one.
What was it over? Yogurt.
They didn't have gummy bears. No, I think it might have been when my son was born. You know, it might have been when my son
was born.
That's
acceptable. I guess it's acceptable. Back in the day, you just stood out in the waiting room, right? Smoked a cigar.
No, you Irish dudes don't cry. I said today, I even just tweeted something. Irish dudes, I swear to God, I've never seen a funnier group of people who, A, take pain and just take a beating. Some of the funniest people to talk
to. It's the acceptance of the beating, and you don't try to change it. And you just keep running into the brick wall.
There's something so comical about just accepting the beating. Not trying to remedy it at all.
I don't have that 100% anymore because of getting into this business and traveling and seeing other types of ways of dealing with shit. But like, dude, I was actually thinking the other day, like my bloodline, German, Irish, Scottish, English, right there. I mean, that would make a therapist do a spit take. Like, you're fucked emotionally when you have that blood running through you. I don't know what it is. And then
I see you when we get hung over and we had a night out the night before, and then I see you in the lobby and you just see the look on my face and I'm miserable and I'm looking at him and I'm going, this guy did what I did. How is he just taking it? Like, you don't even show. You just fucking put your head down and go. Me,
how I got sick.
Yeah.
Because we found that cigar private place. We smoked the cigars in Calgary. We drank. We got like 3 hours sleep, and then we woke up, came here.
Yeah.
Took a fucking steam, and then I came back and like an asshole. I'm going to go work out.
Oh, fucking,
you're an
animal.
3 hours sleep, and then I fucking jumped on the treadmill and then worked out, and I came back, and then right when I got to the theater, and in my head I was going like, this is dumb, Bill.
Yeah.
Don't go down to the treadmill because you just got all hot in the steam thing, and then you're going to run down there sweating. And you only got three hours.
You go, Verzi, what'd you do? I go, I took a nap. I laid down. It was great. I go, what'd you do? I go, did you get some sleep? He goes, no, I went to the gym. I'm like, that's a fucking animal. Give yourself a break.
Yeah, I go until I get sick, and then I give myself a break. Whatever, Paul. Hey, what do you want from me? Okay, I am who I am.
Yeah, right. I got a friend. He doesn't quit, you know?
Maybe sometimes I want to. I'm just afraid.
You're sabotaging yourself.
It's obnoxious at this point, people, and I don't care. Fuck you. You do 20 days in the road. All right. Problem with ex-girlfriend. Bill, I have a question regarding how to handle a situation with my ex-girlfriend. I used to really hug, kiss, and squeeze her all the time. After we broke up, I talked to a pretty 20-year-old in a coffee shop about squeezing and making out in the blue water in Thailand. She really got into it and asked me to show her how I would pleasure her in the ladies' room. Dude, this guy's got some game. He's sitting there painting a picture to the point. There you go. He goes, I have always been a romantic, so I said yes. That's hilarious. I'm a romantic. I'll take you to the ladies' room.
Oh, my God. That's fucking movie.
I kind of got into eating around. I don't get this graphic. He goes, I added some dirty talk, and I think somebody might have listened in. I saw my ex-girlfriend leave the copy. Wait, she was in there later, but she did not say hello. Wait a minute. I got with the graphicness of this. Wait. I talked to her in a coffee shop. She was really into it. So wait. So I saw my ex-girlfriend leave the coffee shop. So she was there as you did all of this, but she didn't say hello. I met up with this girl a couple times, and she always wanted me to pleasure her in public places like the movies, etc. She got a fetish here. Then she suddenly proposed that I would pleasure her friend who I had met a couple of times. Dude, fuck you.
What?
This is awesome. Dude, you don't have to achieve shit after this.
Hey, where's that coffee shop, all right?
I know from experience that this would be a red flag, but I said yes because I am 42. Oh, now he's a creep. 42. What are you doing? He's still out there. And I really
The longer this question goes, the more it sounds like a lie.
Yeah, I know, right? And I really love to pleasure women. After having pleasured this woman in a changing room in a department store, I again saw my ex-girlfriend leaving without saying hello. Where? Dude, this is fucking bullshit. You keep pleasuring this woman and your girlfriend keeps showing
up?
I don't buy it. But I got to read it. This is such a great story. I'm going to finish it, though. Later, my ex-girlfriend called me and was a bit upset. She asked me, am I not a woman you would have sex in a public place with? Now, the correct grammar would be a woman with whom you would have sex in a public place. Do you think I should correct her grammar? Oh, this is all a bullshit one. Or would you think that correcting her is a sign of not being over her? I don't buy that, man. That's just too fucking crazy.
I mean, that's like I've never heard of anything.
No. And he's 42. That was very well-written, phony question. And I liked all the fucking left turns. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it.
There's no way that could be real, right?
No. Not.
I mean, you're sitting in a fucking coffee shop when your ex-girlfriend's sitting there not saying hi, and
she doesn't work at the coffee shop?
And another girl's like, hey, man, why don't you come in the bathroom and eat me out? I mean, that's like...
Listen, that alone, that could happen. But to then have it happen again at Thailand, you know what I mean? Not Thailand, in the department store.
I heard a lucky. Played a lotto, buddy. Jesus.
All right. This is the last one, and then we got to run here. Am I a whore? Hey there, Billy Fatface. Fuck you. I've been on the treadmill. I am a senior in high school and might be a whore. I know you're the lean, mean, red-headed machine when it comes to calling out whores, so I'll let you be the judge. I don't fucking judge you here. All right. My ex-boyfriend, who was a year older than me, left for college at the end of last year. He goes to University of Washington, a decent leap from Arizona, where we went to high school. We broke up after dating just over a year because we ultimately agreed that a long-distance relationship would suck for both of us. Plus, I eventually knew I'd be plagued with the thought of him balls deep in some artsy whore, and it would get to me. This girl's hilarious. However, when we visited this for his winter break about 6 months later, I came on to him again. He initially didn't want to get back together because he knew he was leaving and thought I'd be hurt in the long run, but quickly gave in. We were basically dating again for the entire 3-week break he was here, holding hands in public and going on dates where one of us would pay or the other. What do we got here? Finally, we left without any incident, but it felt like we kind of flashed back to our heavily involved relationship. Here's where things start to get sleazy on my part. His friend Devin, was always around. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Opie. Oh, boy. His friend Devin was always around when we were dating, trying to insert himself into things when my ex and I would hang out. My ex thought it was creepy and shut him down, but ever since he left, I've been hanging out with Devin a lot. Oh, uh-oh. How could you do this? All the dicks in the world, you're going to jump on this one. Which wouldn't make you a whore. It just kind of makes you like, you could have had a better selection here. Here we go. I spent Valentine's Day with him, and then she writes, oh, Jesus. But nothing happened. And I sent my ex a picture to see what his reaction would be.
Yeah, see, that's what she's doing.
It upset him, and he told me that it really pissed him off and was comparable to cheating. Later this month, I went to a formal event with him and posted a picture on Twitter. I texted my ex later that week, and he told me it was really pissing him off how I dragged him back into having feelings for me and then rubbed my proverbial dick in his face. I apologize, but ever since then, he seemed kind of pissed at me and not interested in talking to me. What do you think there, Billy Boy? Am I a dirty whore? And is his just anger justified, or is he just being a jealous cunt? Love the podcast. Thanks, and go fuck yourself. You're not a whore. You're not a dirty whore. What you are is you're being a really mean person because you don't know how to express the fact that you still have feelings for him. So you dragged him back into it. And maybe you didn't want to break up with them, or maybe you thought you did, and now you're having second thoughts about it. And rather than just saying that to him, the pain you have that you're not together, you're now sort of, for some reason, taking it out on him by doing everything that you know is going to tear his heart out of his chest. So you need to stop doing that. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's exactly like it's like just nobody. How come nobody just picks up the phone and says, "Hey, like, keep sending the poor guy pictures and fucking doing that to him"? There's no.
Well, look, they're young. They're young. You don't know how to do stuff like that. And sometimes you're doing shit and you don't know why you're doing shit because you don't know who you are yet. So I'm not judging this person. I'm just saying what you're doing is really it's really unnecessarily mean.
But one thing that's not brought up. What about Devin's feelings? I know, he must really seem to care for her. No, but like, there's two guys getting fucked. She's sending pictures. I don't know. Just, I mean,
listen,
yeah, I
without a down. Doubt, Devin's not a good dude.
Because it's his friend.
It's his friend, yeah.
It's his friend.
And he was trying to move in on it when they were still together. So that guy, you know, it's weird. You know who's going to lose in all of this is going to be you. Because you're with this creep. This guy's a fucking creep. Or maybe he's just
well, you
young.
Don't know.
They're all young.
You don't
Who
know
knows?
He's a creep, though. Maybe he always had feelings for her, and the other guy didn't treat. We don't know.
I just went with creep, but she said that her ex-boyfriend said it was creepy. I don't fucking know, Paul. What am I going to solve the problems of fucking 18 and 19-year-olds? I can't do this. All right, look, yeah, stop doing that to him. Stop posting. I mean,
yeah,
come on,
stop sending pictures.
And you're acting like you don't know what you're doing. At least as far as like hurting the person, you're hurting them, and you should stop. And if you don't, then you're a mean person, but you're not a whore. She's not a whore.
No, that's not a whore.
That's not a whore. What is a whore to you, Paul?
If she sent pictures while she was blowing Devin, I mean, that'd be a little fucking much, you know?
But even then, as you get older, when you start to think of the psychological reasons as to why a woman would do that, you know, and it always goes back to some sort of family issue that they would do that, some sort of insecurity and, you know, having no boundaries. A lot of times when something like that happens, you got touched as a kid. I'm kind of paraphrasing some of the shit that I've heard some.
No, I just think a whore. When I think a whore, I think of using sex, you know, doing sexual things or using sex in order to gain and do stuff like that, you know, to get yourself ahead through sex.
Right.
And
I would actually say that that's more of a sociopath who just happens to be using you know, sex rather than using a gun or a knife or something like that. They're just going up. They're using the weapon that they got.
Are all whores sociopaths?
No. I would say no, not at all. I would say that, you know, men and women who have a bunch of fucking different partners or something like that, the older I get, they're not like dogs and whores and stuff like that. Like they have, there's something wrong with them. Look, there's something wrong with fucking being married, and this is the only person you're ever going to have sex with again. I mean, that's just, there's something not fucking natural about that. But the other side of that is to just walk around
fucking everybody.
Just fucking everybody. Then there's something wrong about that. But what I'm doing is also, you know, my opinion is I'm looking out my own head here, how I would feel. I remember, you know, I was out dogging around. I would always feel like a piece of shit on some level, past a certain age. Your 20s, you're like psyched, like, yeah, I got another one, right? In your 30s, it starts to get sad, starts to get pathetic. So I wouldn't say you're a whore, but unfortunately, we have to wrap up here. Paul, another effortless podcast.
Great time. Yeah. Always a great time.
The Verzi Effect Podcast.
Yes, the Verzi Effect Podcast. And also, we kick off March 31st at Largo.
The All-In Tour. Yes.
The All-In Tour with myself, Joe Bartnick, Jason Lawhead.
Three animals are going on tour, and I'm going to host the kickoff one. It's not – I don't know – That one's going to be at Largo. Yeah. I don't know where the other ones are. Dates are coming in.
Yeah,
West Coast dates.
Yeah,
East Coast dates.
San Francisco Punchline is on the website now, so you could go to that. We're going to Portland. We're going to Seattle. We're going to San Diego. East Coast will be in Jersey. We will be in Cleveland.
Cleveland, yep.
So
Pittsburgh.
Check out. Yeah, we're going to be in Pittsburgh. So check out. All those dates are coming in, but that's the All-In Tour with sponsored by the Monday Morning Podcast.
It's the first tour that I'm putting the Monday Morning Podcast name behind.
And we appreciate it. You know, I just love your talents. and then you could go to my Twitter, at Paul Verzi. That's V-I-R-Z-I. And please download the Verzi Effect Podcast. Bill was the last guest on it, and the podcast is doing better. So that's it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.